Welcome to the PapaCast on the links. Now here's your host, Bob Papa.
Welcome to another edition of the PapaCast, GolfCast, and it is an exciting time with the NCAA Championships underway. Congratulations to the University of Washington as the women win their first ever golf national championship. But this edition of the PapaCast focuses in on the men's competition. And we've got some great guests lined up for you. Nota Begay, a member of the Stanford Cardinal team that won the national championship in 1994. Corey Pavin, a star at UCLA. John Cook, a star at Ohio State. But to get things started, welcome in one of my colleagues at Golf Channel, John Mahaffey, a major champion winner and part of that great tradition at the University of Houston. John was a winner of the 1970 individual championship, one of the great highlights in his career. And I asked John about getting started in the game of golf and how he wound up at the University of Houston.
Well, there's a guy from Del Rio, Texas named Hal Underwood. And Hal Underwood was probably one of the finest players I've ever seen in my life. Beautiful golf swing, terrific putter, great short game. And he saw me playing. He was a couple of years older than I was. And he saw me playing a little high school tournament. He came to Kerrville and played one of these. He saw me play. And so he called Dave Williams, the coach at University of Houston. He said, there's a young kid down there in Kerrville, Texas, that played basketball. He made 40 points in a basketball game. He's a heck of a basketball player. I don't know if he's that much of a golfer. He's got a lot of his work ethic's good and so forth. But anybody that's that small that can make 40 points in a basketball game, you want somebody with some heart. So it was because of him that I got into the University of Houston. And, in fact, Terry Jastro, who used to be in television, he was a producer for ABC for a long time. He beat me in the state junior at Brackenridge Park in San Antonio. Beat me one up at 36th hole. And he and I both got scholarships, partial scholarships to play at University of Houston. And he went into television, and I was lucky enough to be on a couple of national championship teams and win the NCAA.
You won the individual, a different format than they play now. Now it's match play. How much confidence did that give you that you could go out and compete as a pro? And then you were part of, you know, one of the great rookie classes to ever come out.
Well, what happened, and I'm going to go back a little bit. The week before the NCAA, which was at the Scarlet Course at Ohio State, really terrific golf course, I played in the U.S. Open. I'd qualified as an amateur to play in the U.S. Open and made the cut, played the final round with Lee Trevino, and ended up tying Ben Crenshaw for low amateur at Hazeltine, 1970. And Trevino, after we finished the round, he goes, hey, because he never knew anybody's name. He just called, hey, pro or hey, whatever. He says, hey, he says, you thinking about playing the PGA Tour? And I said, yeah. And he said, well, that little duck hook you got going isn't going to work too good. He said, you can get it up and down out of a garbage can, but you got to learn how to hit it left to right. And he said, that's the only way you're going to play good out here. You're not long enough to play the draw. You don't hit it high enough. He said, let me show you something. So he took me to the practice team, showed me how to hit a fade. So I went to the NCAA the next week and played left to right almost the entire week and hit a lot of really terrific golf shots. And Trevino really turned me around in a lot of ways to be able to get the ball up high enough in the air to play.
That was 1970 individual NCAA champion John Mahaffey. Corey Pavin was a standout on the West Coast. Corey obviously went on to win a U.S. Open and played at a high level at UCLA. I had a chance to sit and talk with Corey, and he explained that college golf is when he really understood where his game stood and if he could really compete on a high level.
I played a lot of junior golf, and when I was 11 and under, I was pretty competitive in that age group. And then from 12 to 16, it just didn't work as well for me. You know, I was getting better, especially when I was 15 or 16, and I was getting frustrated. When I was 17, I played really well. I kind of broke out as a junior golfer and won the junior world semifinals in the U.S. Junior Amateur, and I went to UCLA, and I had a tough first year. I thought I was pretty good, you know, with all the stuff I did as a junior golfer. I went to college, and I was getting clobbered my freshman year. And something happened when I started my sophomore year. I won the first tournament we played, and I ended up winning six tournaments. And after that year of college, then I really felt there was a realistic chance of being a professional golfer. Before that, it was just a dream. But when I was able to compete on a collegiate level, I thought, you know, maybe I can do this. I had taken that next step and still had a long way to go. But that was the first time I really thought it was within reach.
You know, talking about college golf, it's interesting because you won those six individual events. And we talk with guys that have won individual national championships, the individual NCAA. But they always focus on the one that got away from them from a team standpoint. The team is really the thing when it comes to college golf, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, I was just going to say that before you said it, is, you know, we never won the national championship. And we had some really good teams when I was there. We were ranked 1 and 2 my sophomore and senior years, you know, all year long. But the best we could ever muster was a sixth place finish. So that was frustrating. And, you know, you get four chances at it. That's it. And some get less than that. So that was a little frustrating in itself. But, you know, there's a lot of good teams, and we just didn't put it together at Nationals. And I wish we had done that, but, you know, that's the way it goes.
You guys were loaded too, right? I mean, you had some guys that everybody knows were teammates.
Yeah, we had some good teams. You know, we've had a lot of guys in about a 4 or 5 year period that had really good careers on tour, but we didn't necessarily have everybody firing on all cylinders in that group at the same time in college. So, you know, Jay Delsing, Tom Pernice, Steve Pate, Duffy Waldorf, we were all on the team at the same time. But, you know, I redshirted 1 year, and, you know, things just didn't all come together in that regard. So the guys we had going to Nationals probably aren't the guys you think that were at Nationals for us.
That's proud UCLA alum Corey Pavin sharing his thoughts on college golf. Now we shift gears and welcome in a member of the Golf Channel broadcast team, Nota Begay. Nota, the 1994 national championship with Stanford, Tiger Woods, Casey Martin, his teammates. And I had a chance to visit with Nota and talk about what the college experience meant to him and being a part of such a great program and winning a national championship.
Some of the best memories in my career were very lucky and very few to get to have a career on the PGA Tour and play in a variety of different major championships or President's Cup teams, but it's those college days that so many of us hold on to. I know that Tiger and myself and Casey Martin, we just often reminisce about tournaments and the traveling together, and it's just, there's so much camaraderie. And you look out on the tour now, there's just so much school pride with players that have their head covers or ball markers or put their school emblem on their ball. It's just a special time for a lot of players, and to have won a national championship is even more special.
When you think about that camaraderie and the component of team golf, because it's such an individual sport, yet you come together and play as this team, give the audience sort of a feeling on the level of accountability that you all held each other to.
Well, I think it's even a little bit more than the individual stress that a player goes through. I mean, you hear players talk about the Ryder Cup and the President's Cup, which is what most people are used to, because college golf, because of Golf Channel and their coverage of it, is starting to get more notoriety across the country. But if you're trying to uphold your team and you feel like you're letting them down, there's a lot more pressure there in a lot of cases, just because you feel like, I can get over myself missing a four-footer to lose a tournament, but if I miss a four-footer to miss going to the match play portion of the NCAA tournament or qualifying for regionals or to win an event for the team, that sticks with you for a long time. I missed, and what comes to mind for me is in 1995, we were trying to win back-to-back national championships, and I came to the 72nd hole, and I missed about a four-footer for birdie that would have won us the tournament. And believe me, you, I think about that every single year when this comes around. So it's good in that we won in 94, but I still have some hard memories back to the one I missed in 95.
Yeah, you know, like any athlete or any coach, it's always about the ones that got away, right? Those are the ones that almost stick out more than the victories.
Yeah, they hurt. I mean, they hurt, and I think golfers are like gamblers in that we remember the bad beats a lot more than we do the successes. But I guess that's just the nature of professional sports and sports in general. We just take those failures so hard, and that's what makes us successful in a lot of areas, is that we're so competitive.
You know, you mentioned Casey Martin, who was one of your teammates, and you're going to be part of Golf Channel's coverage of the men's NCAA championships. And Casey is the head coach at Oregon, 10 years there. They've made it, you know, into the championship round. What are some of the things that you think Casey learned in college that he's brought with him to be a successful coach in golf? Because it's different than being a coach in other sports.
Well, just how to build a program, how to build that camaraderie that we discussed earlier. Because when Casey and I, we were both in the same class, we both arrived in fall of 1990. And Stanford hadn't made the NCAA tournament in over 15 years. And so Wally Goodman was charged with the task, who was our coach at Stanford, of rebuilding the golf program and trying to get it back to national stature. And Casey was a part of that resurrection of the Stanford golf program, and we qualified for nationals in our freshman year. We top 10'd it our sophomore year, and then our junior year we won the national championship, and then we finished runner-up in 95. So him being able to take that experience and implement that into his coaching strategy, I think, helped. And also being a part of the whole Tiger Woods phenomenon. So if he ever were to get a marquee player that had that kind of recognition, he also would know how to handle that, because that's a once-in-a-lifetime experience. I mean, when we won the national championship in 94, the number of media requests from one year to the next went up by like a factor of 50, from 5 to 10 to over 200, and it was just because of Tiger. And so we had to live in that spotlight, and I know that that's something that he understands with regard to his coaching approach.
You know, when you think about other sports, right, there's coaches that are involved in strategy, there's position coaches that work on technique. Is it being a golf coach different in the sense that it's more psychologist than anything else? Because I would think that you got these kids on your team that are good enough to play that have their own coaches from wherever they're from. Is it more about staying away from swing mechanics and more about psychology?
I think that that's changed a little bit, Bob, over the last 3 or 4 years. And it's specifically related to how the championship is conducted now. I mean, it's a match play format, and these teams are competing in stroke play formats for the majority of the season. And then all of a sudden they come to the end of the year and everything that they're working towards is being determined in a different format. And yes, they do play a lot of match play in the summertime, some of the big amateur events, but I think it's curious with regard to how coaches are recruiting, how coaches are trying to get the mindsets of their players ready, because even if you see mistakes being made in how coaches are setting out their lineups, in my opinion, if you look at just past precedent based on Ryder Cups and President's Cups and those strategies, and there's statistics now that are being incorporated into, so getting a point early is huge now. And so I saw some coaches send out a lot of inexperienced players early and lose points early and consequently end up losing matches. And I really feel like it's a balance between finding the player that has that ability to thrive in match play, but also being able to implement a little bit of psychology to kind of help them develop, because most of these players want to play the tour. So that's part of the recruiting process with coaches. They got to kind of play both angles.
Talking with Billy Ray Brown, who's part of our broadcast team on Golf Channel and won the individual championship in 1982 and won 3 team championships. He says that when he takes on the role of Walker, a walking analyst during the NCAA tournament, women's and men, he actually gets a little nervous. He gets a little anxiety, not in a bad way, but in the sense that it kind of gives him that feel back of what it's like to compete as a collegiate golfer. Do you get that same adrenaline rush when you're working an NCAA tournament, thinking back to when you were in the arena and doing it and competing for Stanford?
Most certainly. I mean, you're in the booth. You'll be with Lanny Watkins this coming week. But, I mean, we're out there and we're getting to take in all of that energy, and in terms of listening to coaches engage with their players prior to the round or discussing shots in club selection. So we're about as close to the actual competition as you could possibly be. And with both Billy and I have having been lucky enough to realize some success at that level, it does spark those wonderful feelings of just, gosh, man, I wish I was back in college again, because this is just a whole lot of fun. And the caliber of play from these young ladies and these young men is just so good. And it's just remarkable to see how much better the players have gotten in the last 20 years.
And you develop lifelong friendships, right? Your college teammates that you competed with, guys that you remain tight with for the rest of your life. It creates that kind of bond, doesn't it?
It's strictly college. I mean, Tiger and I were watching the broadcast last night, just texting, going, oh my gosh, that's going to be a hard shot. And we're like, oh no, that's going to be really challenging to get that up and down. I mean, we were literally kind of having our own back and forth commenting on each shot and just how good the coverage was. I mean, the camera angles and Golf Channel's really done a wonderful job of committing resources to cover the event and make it a marquee event for college golf. I mean, next to the playoffs and maybe the NCAA basketball, it's probably the most highly publicized event that the NCAA offers as far as its championships are concerned. And that's a great thing for golf.
Nota Begay, a member of the Stanford Cardinal 1994 National Championship team. We shift our gears to Ohio State, where John Cook, who's had so much success as a player on the PGA Tour and PGA Champions Tour. John followed in the footsteps of one of the great Buckeyes of all time, Jack Nicklaus, a proud member of Ohio State and an individual champion. And John explains what golf meant to him and how he found his way to the campus of Ohio State.
Yeah, I had a lot of options, and my father was I was born in Toledo. My father was a high school football coach out of college. He went to Denison, played football, went to Ohio State Graduate School, was a graduate assistant under Woody early, and then we moved to Toledo they moved to Toledo where I was born, and he was a high school football coach. So we kind of followed his little path. He had gotten back to Ohio State, was an assistant coach there, went up to Akron, was assistant head coach under Gordon Larson at Akron University. Felt like this wasn't going to provide enough for his family, so he took a job with Firestone. Firestone moved us all out to California, so my really second grade through high school was California. Always had those Ohio ties, always, you know, bled scarlet and gray, you know, Dad on the weekends. And if Ohio State was close, we'd go to games, we'd go to Rose Bowls, we'd go to, you know, whatever games we could go to. So when the opportunity came around, I was getting recruited by a bunch of schools, and I went back for my visit to Ohio State. You know, that they really welcomed me as part of the family, because Dad was part of that family. And you could kind of feel the energy around campus and around town of what athletics and sports means to the town of Columbus. So after, you know, a lot of, you know, back and forth, UCLA, Arizona State, and Ohio State, I would get letters from, you know, Jack Nicklaus. I'd get a phone call from Tom Weiskopf. He said, "Man, that's done deal. These people care so much about their school that these guys are calling me and writing me letters and keeping in contact." I went, "Man, I want to be part of this."
Do you still have them all?
I have them somewhere. I'm sure my mom's got them in a box somewhere, and I've got a lot of letters from some great people. I got a great note from Bobby Knight one time. I got a great note from, you know, a couple from Byron Nelson, and you know, with Venturi being, you know, my mentor for all my years, he didn't think it was a great decision, but he accepted it as part of, you know, my growing and learning. And if I wanted to grow and learn and play golf, I had to get out of the dome of Southern California and go somewhere where, you know what, things aren't, you know, it's not 80 degrees and perfect all the time. You got to learn how to play in some different conditions on different golf courses. And so I really cherish that experience.
You know, when you hear guys talk about the college golf experience, everybody talks about it so fondly, everybody that came from these big programs. Obviously, you played at Ohio State and your team had tremendous success. When you think back to that experience, what are the first things that jump to mind?
it was a great team, and the just the environment in Columbus around Ohio State. Just because you were a golfer didn't mean you were, you know, like over here. You were, you know, we were in the athletic dorms. We were at training table. We went to the study hall, study table with everybody. And it just felt like you were a big family. And that resonated down into the golf team where we were all really good players. And we gelled as a team because everybody on our team played team sports and excelled at team sports. So we knew we were really good individually, and our coach Jim Brown kind of took that passion of all of our experiences in sports and made it into that team concept. You take care of this, you take care of this, and this team will gel. And that's why we were successful being a, you know, Midwestern team in Columbus. We played a really nice schedule against all the top teams, and they were wondering why we kept winning, and because we were really good, and we were really good as a unit, and that's where Coach Brown took all of our experiences as team players and molded it into a golf team.
Why is it that guys that win individual NCAA championships always talk about it's more important if their team won? It feels like in golf that's really the big carrot. As opposed to the individual, it's great to say that a guy's an individual, and it's a great thing to have on the resume. But it always feels like guys would say, "I'll trade my individual for the team win any day."
And that's just it. I got recruited to Ohio State to be a part of the Ohio State University golf team, and that was known from the day that we stepped on campus to orientation that this was the golf team. This wasn't the golfer. It was the golf team. It was all about that. Coach Brown recruited kids around that to make it a team. And that winning that NCAA team championship in 1979 is one of the greatest thrills of my life. It just to see these guys run across the green after making a putt and knowing what this meant, you know, it still gives you goosebumps just to see these guys going across the green as a team, as the NCAA champions. We won. We beat everybody in the country. And that's what we went to school for.
That was John Cook of Ohio State. We want to thank John and Corey Pavin, Nota Begay and John Mahaffey for all sharing their experiences of what college golf meant to them and participating in the NCAA championships. We hope you enjoyed this edition of the Papa Cast Golf Cast.